The only time I've ever shouted for Manchester United in my whole life is last night. Dennis, you've got to be the bravest or dumbest man in the whole world to wear a Manchester United shirt to church, or just blindly patriotic. May God bless you, my brother. It's nice to see you. We were going to stop our online meetings. One of my friends said, hey, Rory, 3CR was not designed to be online. And I said, I agree with you. And this thing's happened very quickly. We never actually asked for this. It just happened. And now we've got to try and look after it. And we've got all these people online. And I just said, why don't we just cancel our cameras? And then I walked into the church on Thursday, and I never answer the telephone. But on Thursday, I just answered. I said, hello, 3CR, Rory speaking. And they were like, Rory who? I said, no, Rory, the guy from 3CR. I said, Rory, my name is Mariana. I'm phoning from Polokwane. And 3CR is my church. Can I just have your bank details? I said, absolutely, ma'am. First National Bank, 7434849424. I said, ma'am, sorry, I don't know. And the young girl that's been employed since I've been away came into my office and said, Rory, that girl's just phoned from a town in the Western Cape to say, actually, she just got baptized because of what she's seen online. So we've got some all sorts of problems, like parking problems and traffic problems and growth problems. But we can thank God. Let's not take it for granted. Beautiful. Amen. So this is my shout out to Mariana, and I've got friends in Turkey that are visiting us. They've been following us online for 2 years, and they definitely say we must carry on. And so it's just nice to be together. Yes. So most organizations start the year with a yes, like a big yes. Let's go for it. Let's take the mountain. Let's take ground. Let's say yes to Jesus. Let's go. Let's win people for Christ. Yes, yes. Yes, every public speaker, yes. And the motivational speaker say, yes. And I felt God say, just say no. Just teach the people how to say no.
Yes.
And so I actually just want to do one sermon on just... Yes. What?
No.
No.
No. Yes to your no.
Yes to my no. Do you want to support Manchester? No, 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 no. Dear God, no, not over my dead body, Lord God. Please don't, Lord God. And I don't ever want to be part of a building project again either. I just say no, but I know what God's going to do. Yeah, he's going to send me to the Karoo or somewhere. So I want to talk about the holiness of no. And when we talk about God's holiness, it should not make sinners feel guilty. It should actually make people feel inspired. And I think what happens with the church is we can take any subject. We can take the subject of sex. And immediately if you think sex in the church, you think of some kind of taboo subject that the church has got a dark age mentality around that has not kept up with the times. That's what some of you young people are thinking now. That's not God's heart. God created sex and alcohol. And so when he created it with his everything, with his character and his personality and the color of which he expressed himself through a rainbow and through space. He said, I'm taking you to a spacious place. So sexuality in the church should be colorful, creative, adventurous, exciting, magnificent. But he does put a restriction on it, which is the no. Yeah. And when he says no, it's not because he's bad. It's actually because he's good. And so don't take all these subjects that you've inherited through your understanding of what the church message is and think, no, God wants to spoil my fun. No, God wants you to have fun. There's just absolutely different ways of having fun and expressing God. And I just felt like we need to understand that the no of God leads to holiness, not to a lack of fun. Are you with me, guys? And so you'll just remember this through the year. As we go through the scripture. So we're going to start with Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. And just keep the scripture, take my face off. And we're going to read the scripture. Let's read it together. For the grace of God. Let's say that.
For the grace of God.
And just stop there and look at the scripture. For the grace of God. Okay, so we're about to learn no, but for the grace of God. And so you have to understand Jesus and his grace before we even think of no. You see, no comes later. You can see it in the middle of the second line. But you've got to think of God's grace first. How does God treat people? The woman caught in the act of adultery. Ah, sinner. No, he didn't do that. He got down into the dust and he started to write in the ground. says, he who has not sinned, cast your first stone. We think of the woman who'd been married 5 times. So where's your husband? Oh, I'm not married. No, you're right, you're not married. You've been married 5 times. The man you're living with now. How do divorced people come into our church? They've got to come in with the grace of God. Because most people at the very worst have been divorced 3 or 4 times. She was divorced 5 times. Maybe you've been divorced 6 times. But when you walk in here, you have to walk into the grace of God. So when you hear the message of no, you're not hearing the judgment of the church, you're hearing the grace of God. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Amen. So we have to wrap it in grace. Complete grace. That brings salvation. Say salvation. So salvation is an amazing word. Stephen's cleverer than me, but the word in the Old Testament, yasa, the word in the New Testament is sotera, and that word has got space attached to it. So when God talks about salvation, he's talking about space. What we think about salvation is a lack of space. He's invited me. Some will take the narrow gate and some will take the wide gate, and you think salvation is a narrow. No, the word salvation is spacious. But inside of that word is a narrow gate where we have to say no sometimes. So God in the Old Testament and in the Genesis, he's a God of a very big yes. You can eat of any tree in the middle of the garden, but you must not eat of this tree. Big yes, small no. That's how we live our lives. But I think what's happened under an over-graced message is the no's disappeared. And it's like God says yes and you keep going. No, there's a no and it's a good no. And if the church preaches properly, it has to preach the nose of God. Amen? So salvation is incredible. It deals with my past. The punishment of my sin is dealt with. Everything that I've ever done is dealt with. I don't carry any burden of my past. And if you're sitting here, you're wicked, you're dirty, you're divorced, and you've confessed your sin, your punishment is dealt with. You're sitting here completely and utterly free. Salvation present means that God is dealing with the power of sin in my life and he's actually teaching me to live victoriously. I might fall and stand up and fall and stand up, but like a child, you eventually learn how to walk and eventually learn how to run, not by morals. The government wants us to be moral. And so fortunately, I didn't get a speeding fine this holiday, but normally I do. But you know, I am on such a journey of obedience. It's remarkable. I am becoming so like Jesus.
Wow.
I honestly only speed when somebody fosters in front of me. I never speed alone. Now, I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I'm learning how to speed. No, I'm only joking. I never got caught.
Well done.
But when that guy comes out and he does that, or her does that, immediately everything inside you think, I have broken the? Say it. You see, you've got don't. And can't, do, and don't. That's the law. And under grace, you've got no. It's different. I'm not talking about can and can't, do and don't. I'm talking about no. And God teaches me to overcome the power of sin. And in the future, I'll be released from the presence of sin. I'll be in the presence of God. And so salvation's doing its work. I want you to take the scripture and to learn it. Salvation has appeared to all men. Say all men. You see, on the stage, it was a black oak, it was a white oak, there were some pretty girls and some very ugly guys. Did you see it? All on one. Did you see it? Yeah. You actually weren't looking at the ugly oaks. I know that. That's just how God works. It teaches us. Say it teaches us. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Hard when you get older to be teachable, eh? Not easy to be teachable. Teaches us. Say teaches us. Always say you got to take off your teacher's hat. You got to put on your student hat. You got to say, God, I'm 57 years old. I've served you for a long time. But I want you to teach me your ways under the grace of God. It teaches us to say no. Say no. Say no. In brackets. I just feel like this year is a no year. And it sounds so negative, but I want it to be unbelievably positive. It teaches us to say no. Say no. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say no. Say it loudly, no. Like Leila, now, no.
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 And for 95% of you, near. Did you say I-corner? Did you say that? Hey, you churros, Tony. What are you talking, I-corner? Jeez, bro. What do you say, bro? Hey? Flip. Yeah. Every church needs a good Indian in the front row, right? And don't worry, he's my friend. It teaches us. Lord God, this year I want to be teachable with the people of 3CR to say no to ungodliness. That means systems and situations and behavioral patterns that don't have God in them. That we've learned that we get surrounded by and worldly passions. And worldly passions. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, say this present age, in South Africa at this time, when people call themselves cats, dogs, camels, all sorts of things. Somebody applied at one of the schools and said, my child aligns as a cat. And they said, unfortunately, we've got people in our school allergic to cats. So your child will not be able to be admitted. In this present age, where masculinity and femininity is completely and utterly distorted, we are going to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions in this present age, and we are going to represent God as best we can.
Amazing. Beautiful, Roddy. Preach it.
While we wait. Say, while we wait. It's not so like in a McDonald's organization, eh? While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Next verse. Who gave himself for us to redeem us. Say redeem us.
Redeem.
Keep the scripture on there. That word is an auction. It's an auction. I love auctioning. I go on online auctions. One of my hobbies. But if you've ever listened to an auctioneer, it's going. And I sit myself sitting there, and I think of the devil bidding for me, and I think of Christ bidding for me, and the price is going up because he wants to win me, because if he can win me, then he can use me for destruction. And so he's going to pay a price, and every time the price goes up, Christ lifts the price, lifts the price, lifts the price, lifts the price, and eventually he says, no, to heck with this. 10 times the value, going to Jesus Christ, Rory Dyer, redeemed.
Amen.
Redeemed. And he does it over every single one of you. Georgina, and the enemy is fighting. 10 million. $10 billion, Georgina. Yes, Lord.
Beautiful.
Redeemed. So when we read no, we read it from the picture of redemption. You and I have been bought by a price that is highly expensive. It cost him his blood, but you and I are free. And in that freedom, he teaches us to say no to ungodliness. To redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. You say, oh, we're going for the goody two-shoes church. No, we're not. We're going for the church it represents Christ. Amen? So today I want to speak about the nose of God. You can just put it up. I'll show you what it looks like. The nose of God. Not the nose of God, in case some of you don't understand English. Say, hoe was God vandag? Nee, die dominee gepraat van Jesus' neus. Nee. Ek praat van sy neus. Nisa Nies ni. N-E-E-S, not N-E-U-S. As jy gedog het, ek kan nie spel nie. The nose of God. Next slide, please. Just keep that up. I've done hundreds of weddings. Hundreds. And most of the weddings I've done, and some of you are sitting here, have been through salvation, the grace of God, and redemption. And we've done the wedding as if you had never sinned. But the last three or four weddings I've done have been a group of young people that decided when they were young they were going to say no to the things of the world and to ungodliness and live their lives out of obedience to Christ. And this message came from a young girl called Jessie that I watched from a little girl growing up in our church in Durban. I worked with her mum and dad. And her mum prayed for her. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Lord God, will you bring my daughter up in your ways? And will you teach my daughter to say no to ungodliness outside of the in the grace of God? Not because of law or not because she's a pastor's daughter or a teacher's daughter. But Lord God, will you teach her to say no because of grace? And I had the privilege of going to her wedding. And as she walked down the aisle, I felt this unbelievable presence of God. And I realized no does not produce law. No produces holiness. And I just stood there. I just sobbed. And I watched this man, Joel, receive this beautiful, pure bride. None of you should feel guilt. None of you should feel shame. But the beautiful thing is that we're starting to raise a generation of people that are saying no from young. And it's having an effect. You see, friends, one of my neighbors phoned me recently from Natal, and he said, I'm so worried about the government and the laws. Christianity doesn't come from the top down. It doesn't matter if the government is ANC or communist. Christianity comes from the bottom up. Christianity is subversive. It doesn't matter what South Africa does with the laws. Don't be worried about Ramaphosa. He's not in charge of South Africa. Jesus is. Amen. And it doesn't matter what law, in education or whatever, they stick in place. The Bible says the word of God cannot be chained. And every time the church gets thrown to the dogs die. You can't kill the church. You can't kill the word. And it doesn't come through laws in the land. It comes from young girls saying no. It comes from underneath there. And when it comes, it starts to gather power. And when the power starts to rise, nobody can fight it. I'd much rather be in a Christian government than a non-Christian government. But that doesn't actually, that if you can read the whole book of Acts, it's got nothing to do with the government. It's got to do with the name of Jesus and the word of God. And nothing can stop it. It comes underneath. And when you come to church and you see an orthopedic surgeon sticking behind a machine or an entrepreneur of medical company standing behind the machine serving you coffee, you don't even know some of you guys who's serving you coffee. You've got some of the best specialists in the country sitting in our church and they're serving you coffee. And while they're doing it, underneath is coming the power of God and the holiness of God is busy rising up. Amen. Connor and Selena and Cameron and Jess. I saw a little girl getting born. Her dad was a pastor. I saw her getting born. I was there when she got born. I saw her growing up in the church. Parents had a very difficult church in a very poor area. They had 200 break-ins a year for 4 years in a row. And her father responded to every break-in. Their church was right next to a township. They had hundreds and hundreds of break-ins. And I saw her family just break under the emotional strain of that. But I saw this little girl grow up and then eventually move to Tuckies as an 18-year-old, never been out of home, to study medicine. And in December, she qualified as a doctor. I've just watched her growing up in my home. Watched her. And then when she walked down the aisle to say yes to her husband, I thought this yes is because of 1,000 no's. And those 1,000 no's completely overwhelmed me. And I thought, I get, her parents are five steps away, and I get to stand less than 2 feet from this sense of holiness. And I thought, I have to say to us as a church, guys, there's the grace of God. There's the salvation that sets us free. There is the redemption that comes. But can we learn this year just to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions that somehow we'll put into the heart of people? Not the law of God, not the policeman of God. Parents try and get their kids to behave. Teachers try and get their kids to behave. Politicians try and get their citizens to behave. But pastors have to somehow teach the word of God that the grace says no. Not law, the grace says no. If you can put the next slide up, please. The church is made up of three groups of people. Followers, believers, and obeyers. That's how the church is made. Jesus said to me, come follow me. And he ends up in their house. You can read it. It's in Matthew. Come follow me ends up there. What we say to people is come follow me and we expect them to end up in our house. Jesus says, come follow me ends up in their house. And the Bible says, and they're drinking whiskey and smoking cigars. You can read between the lines. So Jesus says, follow me, and he ends up in their house. They're chewing single malt, puffing cigars. And you think, what are you doing, Jesus? He said, I'm getting people to follow me. I met Mel when I was 16. 15? We were young and we were free. Sunday night was the first time we dropped our son at boarding school. It was the first time in 29 years we've not had a child living in our home. I didn't say, hi, I'm Rory. She said, hi, Melanie. I said, hey, Melanie, hi, would you like to marry me? She'll say, listen, you randy young man, leave me alone. You don't get married on the first date. You follow each other. You learn each other's ways. And so inside the church, they're followers. How do I know you? You come in here at the last minute and you take your last puff. You think, oh, hour of Christianity now. I check you every Sunday. You're out there, guys. And now you think you can. Now you think with that little that e-tag thing, you can just you put in your belt. And when an obeyer walks past you and says, "Oh, you must stop smoking. Jesus doesn't like smoking." You know what happens when you have a church of too many followers? You become seeker sensitive and you start to preach to tickle their ears. When you have a church of too many obeyers, they're normally very small churches. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Especially their green stuff. You guys from Durban, that's called grass. Jesus invented it, but it's to walk on and not to smoke. Church of obeyers. And so what we have here is we have got some followers. And you know what I want to say to you? I want to say the grace of God and the salvation of God and the redemption of God welcomes you.
Beautiful.
And then we've got a group of believers that are no longer just wanting to follow God. They actually want to believe. And so they said, you know what I'm going to do today? In front of 2,500 people, I'm going to be baptized. I want to make my faith public. And I'm going to invite my family, and I'm going to go under the waters because I believe God.
Yes.
And then we're going to spend the rest of our life learning how to obey Him. By His grace. By His grace. And when you have followers and believers and obeyers all together, you start to find amazing joy. You think, that's where I've come from. That's where I'm going. This is how God helped me. And we start to find something. I was actually going to get Damien up here with a guitar. Actually, grab a guitar, Damien. Grab one of the guitars. Andy, grab another. Grab that guitar. Andy, grab this guitar. Yeah, your son. Grab that guitar. Come and stand together. Put it on. So you guys don't know this, but this is probably one of the best musicians in our country. No, seriously. No, he is. He is. And if we got him to play a tune and we asked his son to follow, it wouldn't be so sharp. It wouldn't be that good because he's still learning guitar. You understand that? And so I've served God now for 30 years and I still stumble and fall, but actually if you live in my home and you live with me and we have eat together and we worship together, we eventually start following the same music sheet. And so what we had, so now we've got a follower and eventually he'll get the tunes right. And then eventually he'll become like a believer, think, hey, actually I can get on stage now and play because I'm confident enough. And eventually he'll be able to put the music sheet aside and he'll be able to play. He said, I can obey the song. I can obey the chords because actually I know them and I trust that guy because he's been doing it for a long time. And then you see a guy on a guitar, on a piano, white guy, and you see a black guy on a guitar and somebody on the drums and two ladies, and all of a sudden they're singing from the same hymn sheet. So what happens to us? We get blessed by the music, yes or no? Because they're obeying the script. And as they obey the script, not under law, as they obey the script, the sound comes out of their mouths and you and I get drawn into it. And when he misses the note, as some of them do, you have to scowl and think, I missed the note. Or turn to the guy in the mirror and say, change the slide. Ricky and I have had to work together. The relationship between the pastor and the sound guy is an awkward one. I sent Ricky a picture of a pastor who turned around to the sound team and turned into a pillow of salt. So they think, Ricky, that's not the slide I sent you. And as we work together, Ricky and I, we follow each other and then we actually start to believe in each other. And then there's an obedience that comes. And from that obedience comes the slides that go up. And we start to present a church that works together. And the picture of this, when these musical instruments start playing together, I haven't even got to my notes.
Doing good.
But when we learn how to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, we learn to play the same tune. Who? Followers, believers, obeyers. We learn to play the same tune. And what happens is you get sucked into the moment of holiness. You know, Jesse, every time I see you, I just want to cry. I don't know why. But maybe it is a thousand no's that allowed me to experience the yes of your dad walking you down the aisle. Say no. Say no.
No.
Say, Lord God.
Lord God.
Will you teach me to say no? We'll preach next week. Amen.